Hello once again, everybody. It has been a long, long time since we last talked to you on Initial Reaction. It's because JP Kadoran had a child or something that it has taken so long. But here we are again, and I am J.R. Radcliffe.
And I am that guy with the kid. I am JP Kadoran from Time Warner Cable Sports Channel. J.R. is with Lake Country Publications, MyCommunityNow.com. Check out his Preps Alcove and Path to the Playoffs. And whatever else he does.
If you're going to work out, if you are actually going to try to pimp me and all of the various publications I'm working with,
right.
You've got to have a list written down because I have a very long, ridiculous series of.
Also, the Journal Sentinel Online video series, Prep Edition.
Preps Plus Extra. Yes. We're not doing that as much anymore, actually. But
typical.
Yeah, but we have been working on round ball rankings during the basketball season. Again, not my favorite title per se, but definitely a rich content area. And we'll talk about prep basketball in
What's
a little bit.
What's wrong with that title? Round ball rankings?
Yeah, it's just a little.
It's well,
I don't know. It tells you exactly what's going
ready
on.
For this and this popped up this weekend. Round ball rankings has the alliteration going for it.
It
right?
does. Yes, alliteration.
So would you say
crucial.
That you try to be as illiterate as possible?
Yes. I heard that popped up. I get it.
I don't think you get it because you didn't follow her laughing.
Because I saw the joke on Twitter
exactly.
posted from the Raymond James Stadium press box in Tampa Bay this weekend with
we're
you yucky yucks and your, yeah.
We're pretty funny.
You media types sitting in reasonable weather watching a football game that I don't even know if was good, but at least it was,
no,
you know,
it was
reasonable
terrible.
Weather.
That was really boring.
Yeah.
I was in Tampa and the Kadoran curse almost continued. I made it well documented going to this game that I am 1-4. In covering Packers on the road.
And bear in mind, the one was a win at the very last second in Miami.
Yes. So I have mainly seen losing football on the road.
Why don't you go to the close games?
Here's
Why didn't you go
thing.
See Chicago and Minnesota?
Here's the thing. Maybe it's not me, and maybe the Packers are terrible on the road.
You could say that, or you could look at the actual type of team that they're playing on the road versus the ones they're playing at home and who has the better defenses. Maybe you should do that.
I don't feel like it.
Here's the thing about Packers right now, JP. The thing is that there are so many freaking narratives. And you've told some of them, or
I
at
have.
Least you've been around some of them. And it drives me nuts, man. I can't get well, teams need to be playing well at the end of the year. That's false. Look at past history. Teams need to have a really good defense to win the Super Bowl. That's not true. Look at past history before last year. It doesn't change because the Seahawks did it once. It's just you have one bad game, two bad games. It's like the sky is falling. It drives me nuts.
He is freaking out.
I am.
Here.
I'm freaking out.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Those are kind of the what did you say? You said storylines. There's also a lot of things going on, like, will Davante Adams make catches when he is called? I mean, like, there are other storylines, like, within the game itself, like Aaron Rodgers' calf. How is that going to hold up? Clay Matthews, as always. Morgan Burnett is now an all-pro safety. I don't know if you heard that memo.
Wait, I actually didn't get the memo. They announced the Pro Bowl teams last night, right? And I missed it.
I don't believe so.
I thought it was last night. Or is it tonight?
I think it's tonight.
Oh, I can't keep track. We're filming this on a Tuesday, and I'm sick, and I am not paying attention to anything that doesn't involve me sleeping.
And Christmas is in 2 days.
Christmas.
Yes.
The holiday.
Yes.
Not the.
I believe Hanukkah is ending today. I believe today is the last day.
I can't keep track of holidays.
So anyway, so as a hardcore Packers fan that you are.
Am I?
Yes.
Okay.
You have one game left.
I do.
Against the Detroit Lions at home, where the Detroit Lions have not won in the state of Wisconsin since
1991.
Correct. So how do you feel about that game?
Were you born in 1991?
I was. I was five. I was crushing it in kindergarten. Crushing it.
So let's see. 1991. I'm 9 years old. What year is that? Is that fourth grade for me? Fourth grade.
You turned 10 in fourth grade.
Okay. So Mrs. Meeks is my fourth grade teacher. I remember the unit on clouds. I was really good at, like, differentiating between cirrus and cumulonimbus clouds.
How do you feel about the game,
Look,
JR?
I mean, I think the Packers are one of the best teams in football, and the Lions aren't. I mean, they're good. They've won a ton of close games, but I think if you look at the track record and just looking at each individual game, the Packers are good. And yeah, they've had some hiccups, but they're going to beat the Lions because they're much better than the Lions. And sure, they play well at home, and maybe that has some vague, intangible benefit that's going to boost their cause. I think if there is such a thing as it being in a team's head, I tend to think that gets overstated. But if there is, a streak that goes back to 1991 is probably the type of thing that's going to be in a team's head and make it all that more difficult, especially with the offensive line they have weakened without Raiola and weak in general. The Lions are not going to be able to rein in that defense that's been really building momentum over the last 2 weeks.
So I think that the Packers will win against Detroit.
I do.
In which case, that gives them the number two seed in the NFC playoffs.
A great place to be, if you ask me.
Which is awesome. And so the way that I feel about it is when we talk about playoff scenarios and who they might play and where they might play, the only reason we need to talk about it, or the only way we talk about it, is if the Packers beat Detroit. Because, yes, they're in the playoffs, but if they lose to Detroit at home, there's no point in honestly discussing even the rest of the playoffs. Talking about them being a sixth seed as a wild card going up against Dallas or something, you know, then will they have to play at Seattle or at Detroit again? To me, that doesn't matter, because if you can't beat Detroit at home, then you've taken yourself out of that conversation.
I still think that there will come a time where it's okay to talk about that stuff, because there are plenty of teams, at least two that I can think of off the top of my head, that have been six seeds that have won the entire thing. So there's still a room for that conversation. Simple opportunity will tell you, you don't want to have to play three games to get to the Super Bowl. You want to have to only play two. So obviously
And on the road, and when you just lost to a Detroit team that you, by all accounts, you should beat.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Just like if you can't do that, then I don't see a way that they're going to win three more road games.
I would definitely say the cards are stacked against you at that point. But if they beat Detroit, they're the two seed. Probably it seems like a meeting is coming, a clash in Seattle against the Seahawks for the NFC Championship. Certainly that's a line people can see drawn, even though there's a lot of variables before that comes to pass. And I'm sure that the Seahawks will be favored. I just frown a little bit on the like automatic assumption that the Seahawks will crush the Packers. I know what recent track record suggests. I know the Seahawks are a very good team, but this is the playoffs. You don't get – I mean, how did those home games go in 2011 and 2007 when they had the Giants at Lambeau Field? I mean, how did those go? It's not a guarantee anywhere you play. Seattle went to New Orleans. No, hosted New Orleans when Seattle had a losing record and crushed them in the playoffs. There's no predicting what comes next. There's no way to know.
49ers came to Lambeau last year.
Right.
And won.
And I think most people thought that would happen because the 49ers are the better team.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Packers and the Seahawks are about even. I think they're about the same level. And yeah, the Seahawks are going to play better at home. But teams have beaten Seattle at home this year. It's not an impossible task, and I think a team like the Packers can do it, especially with what's going to be on the line, and everybody will be ready to go for, I think, a massive, one of the best showdowns of the last few years.
There's a lot of St. Louis Rams fans in Wisconsin this week.
Definitely. Go Rams. I don't like cheering for St. Louis franchises as a rule, but I will make an exception this week.
So did one franchise ruin all of St. Louis for you?
Yes, of course. The Cardinals are bad news. Ah, not really. I mean, I cheered for the St. Louis Billikens when they had some Wisconsin kids playing.
What about the Blues?
I don't really do hockey.
The Blues don't exist in your world?
I really liked Brett Hall when I was playing NHL 97 on Sega Genesis. I mean, though he was in his kind of twilight years.
Oh, please. Twilight years was 2002 with the Detroit Red Wings,
if
baby.
I had known he would play until he was 55 years old, then maybe I would have thought about that differently. But, I really believe in this Packers team is what it comes down to. I don't think that there – I don't feel like there's anything you can point to that will say, for sure, this team will not – get to the Super Bowl, only because it's hard to do and only one team from the NFC can do it. Is it a difficult task? Of course it's a difficult task, but I really get irritated with people who give up on this team after a bad regular season game when I know that this team has shown they can be so good.
I just think if there's some way that St. Louis can go there, win or even tie, and the Packers get the win against Detroit, get home field advantage, I'm booking my ticket to Arizona.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. If the road to the Super Bowl has to go through Lambeau Field, I'm booking my ticket to Arizona.
Even if Arizona, the Cardinals, wind up with the number one seed, who doesn't want to go to Arizona? I mean, Aaron Rodgers had one of his best games in a loss in the playoffs in Arizona once. I mean, you know that in the past he's been pretty comfortable in domes and settings where the weather isn't a factor. I know everyone seems to think the Packers are amazing in cold weather, and they've been good, but I just think that's because they are good, and it's difficult to beat anybody in cold weather. I think going to Arizona against a team that doesn't have a strong quarterback at this point is absolutely a good situation for the Packers.
I agree. Hot take right there. Somebody without a good quarterback is a good matchup.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a
hot take.
You know what, though? That's the type of thing that I've been arguing with. People who just – I just can't
again. This is instance freaking number out. Two that JR has been too frustrated. So let's move on, shall we?
Peaking too early. Stop. I've never heard that.
Stop
people
it.
Say that, and they have no idea how stupid that is. Anyway, you're right. Let's move on. The Green Bay Packers. Actually, I should point out the Packers play the Lions while I am going to be opening gifts in Detroit with my Lions fan in-law family. My wife's family, though, that will be watching the game while opening gifts. So I'm pretty sure that's going to be a massive throwdown.
If you want, do you want to trade? Maybe I go to Detroit, bring my terrible yes. road game karma.
I love that idea. Right? Love it. Yeah. And then that. You can do the Christmas thing and I'll just stay at home and relax. That sounds like a great idea.
Perfect. Well, why don't we celebrate the return of Christ?
You did not do that.
What? What
the
did I do?
The return of Christ. Christ has come again. He's returned.
Christmas time.
Oh, jeez. The puns. The
Christmas
puns.
Christmas has come early.
I love puns as much as the next guy. More than the next guy. But the puns in this case have been amazing.
Christmas time. Well, he is back.
He is back.
He's risen. I mean, back. And I think this took you a while, but you got it.
Yeah.
I think this is the safest, most natural, most maintaining hire they could make in a good and maybe like 5% bad way.
I'm surprised that they didn't see what else was out there. And obviously,
we
yes.
don't know. We don't know exactly right. who Barry interviewed, but
we don't. But that was leaked so early and so quickly. Yeah. It's almost like he just put down the phone with Gary Anderson and picked it up to yeah. call Paul Chris.
And we do know who applied for the job as well, thanks yeah. to public records.
There
requests.
Are 44 applicants, and most of them.
A lot of PlayStation champions out there. Fantastic.
I once tried to ask high school football coaches how much they've gleaned from video games in terms of play calling and stuff, and I couldn't get anybody, even sort of anonymously, to say that there really was a lot that they've gleaned. I still think there are coaches out there who have implemented ideas from video games into their play.
Whatever supports your narrative, JR.
Yeah.
Even if they tell you no.
They did all tell me no. My narrative was shot down, I have to admit, on that one.
But you were saying that you're surprised they didn't go after more, and we don't exactly know who Barry interviewed for the job.
Right.
But yeah, it was just a given that Paul Chryst was the man for the job, and really he probably was 2 years ago, and they probably would have hired him 2 years ago, but they just didn't want to go back on what they had just done for Pitt and told Pitt and... so I think yeah. it's the right hire right now. I just don't know if it's a super automatic home run. I look at, you know, Paul Chryst had those record-setting offenses where, you know, they set records for points per game. And then you look back at that team, it's like, okay, well, they also had 7 NFL players on that offense alone. Now, were they good NFL players and that's why they were
so good?
Did
they become NFL players under Paul Chryst?
Man.
It's amazing, JP. Man. We're on the same page. Maybe we should do a podcast.
Sandwiches.
So that's gross. So yeah, I get the sense that this was a marriage that would have happened sooner or later, no matter what happens, and that's fine. I have there's a huge advantage in college football to get a guy in the door immediately, and simply because you never really know with recruits and whatnot and how cold feet they're going to get. Are they going to look elsewhere? You want to get those guys to reaffirm their commitment to Wisconsin as soon as possible. So from that standpoint, and the fact that he fits what they want. And the fact that he's had some success, although I know a lot of people look at the 500 record at Pittsburgh and wonder if this guy is really going to be leading this team to the next step, so to speak. From those standpoints, I think he makes sense. He does. I don't know. I guess I just it just feels like a path that has already been traveled. I guess it's not underwhelming. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, and he was. You know, now he has a couple years as head coach under his belt, which is nice. He is not the most engaging person in the world, or at least he wasn't when he was an assistant coach. I felt like at his press conference, he was a little more enlightening, shall we say. He was a little better about it. But then you also look at if his staff that he wants. I mean, if you keep Dave Aranda, if you get Joe Rudolph and Bob Bostad back together, if you keep Ben Strickland there, you have a pretty good staff assembled.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Guys who've had success here. And I love that they seem pretty clear on keeping Dave Aranda just because of how he was able to put together a good defense, Ohio State game notwithstanding, with players who were not blue chip prospects. And we've talked about that. If you can have success with those players, imagine what you can do if you can actually bring in some of those frontline defensive guys. And
yeah, I mean, they lost all front seven. They lost 9 of their front
totally.
7 players.
And then had serious injuries with some of the big guys they had back, Herring, Zebski, mm-hmm. among them. So very impressive showing, I think, and very happy to have them back. I still don't – I mean, were you as blown away as I was, as most people were, to hear that Gary Anderson was leaving. I mean, came as a huge surprise.
Yeah, I was very shocked, and a lot of people are still kind of, like, not getting over it, but really can't understand why he left. And to me, that's only a tough thing to understand if you think that Gary left because he thought Oregon State was a better job. Then I can understand your confusion. But if you realize that that's not the case, and that he left for personal happiness and to be back out west and to be closer to other family, then it's a bit easier to buy, because Oregon State is not a better job. I mean, it's the 10th best team in the Pac-12,
right,
and it's
right.
Just straight up not very good. But it makes a lot of sense to me, because there are two specific moments this year when I could tell that just, I mean, he wasn't a big-time college coach. I mean, you just look at him in the games. I mean, look at the Melvin Gordon incident and the Joel Stavi and the Yips incident. I mean, Those are two classic examples of completely being out of your league. Those are two moves that he made that might have flied at Utah State, maybe will work at Oregon State, but that doesn't work at Wisconsin.
Yeah, the Stavi situation was very weird. And in the end, as I look back, I still think that could have been forgivable. That could have been explained as just a weird moment where a coach just wasn't thinking very clearly. The LSU game to me will always stick out in the back of my mind as a, I think, something that changed the course of history for the Wisconsin football team. Absolutely. This year. I think if Melvin Gordon plays in the second half of that game, and yeah, we were told there was an injury and there might have been an injury, but it was explained so vaguely, and it's strange that he was in there to block but not to run the ball. It seemed like he said something, and this is speculative, but a lot of people have drawn this conclusion. He said something at halftime that irritated Coach Gary Anderson, and he promptly put him on the sideline for a good chunk of the second half, and it cost them the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, and not only that, when you mess around with making up an injury, because with everything I've heard, it was made up. He was not hurt. And so when you make up an injury,
like you said, that's not, like, a little bush league.
Yeah, and not only that, now you're affecting his future. When NFL teams are going to come talk to him, they're going to ask him, well, were you hurt against LSU? What was the deal? I mean, now you're messing with the kid's future.
Right.
So those were two incidents where I knew that he was in a little bit over his head. And then I also think of the times where he wasn't necessarily in over his head, but he was just out-coached. 59-0 is a number that will stick out in a lot of people's heads for a long time. I mean, Urban Meyer just had his way with Gary Anderson. Yeah, offense, sure. Defense, everything. Just completely outcoached. Another instance, last game of the regular season last year against Penn State, where at the time, the Badgers had everything on the line. They could have had Rose Bowl, BCS Bowl, something, if they just would have beat Penn State. Now, as it turns out, Michigan State beat Ohio State in the title game, which meant that Badgers couldn't go to a BCS Bowl anyway. But at the time, they had everything on the line. They had, I don't even know how many it was, 22 seniors on that team, and they got unbelievably outcoached. And that was another sign, like I said, looking back, another sign that, okay, this probably wasn't the right fit for Gary Anderson.
Anytime a coach leaves a program, there's blowback, and we saw that with Brett Bielema, even though I think history will remember him kindly in the eyes of Badger fans. And certainly you have to take it with a grain of salt when you hear sort of all the negative commentary that comes out after a coach has left a program. But one thing I did find very interesting was a tweet from one of the high school coaches I cover, and seemingly a chorus of agreement that Gary Anderson wasn't quite as communicative with the high school coaches in the state of Wisconsin as other coaches had been, Brett Bielema and Barry Alvarez, and that they weren't able to really get a read on what Gary Anderson was thinking, and he wasn't necessarily maybe then recruiting the state as well as he could be. Now, I'm not saying that's the key to success for any major program, to make sure that your home state is covered, but it's something that helps from a goodwill standpoint as well as just a makes sense standpoint. You'd like to, so to speak, close the border and get all the best talent in your state to go to the flagship university in your state. So it's interesting to hear that. It makes me think, maybe it's nice to, because Paul Christ, of course, already has a relationship with many of the high school coaches in the state. Maybe nice to sort of get that pattern back and get that communication going again.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell it's an interesting age, just because now everybody has Twitter and we get everybody's reaction right away. So you could tell whatever high school coach was on Twitter was saying how good of a hire it was.
Right.
You can tell that, not many of them said, oh, no way, can't believe we're seeing Coach Anderson go, how tough. Yeah, you could. I think you could kind of tell how everybody felt.
I also love the little mockery that was made of the state law that you need to wait a week to hire somebody, and how it was so clear he was coming in to be the guy, and it was beneficial to the university for people to know that, so that again recruits would be assured that there was a direction in place. But very funny how this press conference is one of the worst kept secrets in the history of Wisconsin sports.
For sure. So we have covered the Packers. We have covered the Badgers. What is going on in the high school landscape?
Well, there's a little basketball you may have heard about. As we head into the holiday season, there's always a lot of great high school basketball tournaments. The Rathke tournament for girls basketball, some of the best in the state will be in Franklin. Oak Creek has a girls basketball tournament as well. Some excellent talent will be there. Divine Savior, Holy Angels, among others. And then on the boys' side, you've got Wisconsin basketball yearbook shootout at Concordia University in Mequon. A lot of great talent there. Wally Ellenson and Rice Lake will be there. Ellenson. I always get the Ellensons confused.
And but, who are they playing?
I'm drawing a blank. Are they playing Germantown? They're not.
It's Germantown.
Nina. Yep. Nina has Matt Helt, a Marquette recruit. Rice Lake, I want to say, is playing Tosa West at some point, yes. But also someone else.
Now, what if I can't go to that tournament? Do you think I could watch those games live on TV somewhere?
I don't know. I mean, there's this Time Warner Cable Sports Channel 32.
Ding, ding, ding. We are airing both of those games live. Oh, very good. The Rice Lake game and the Germantown game back-to-back on Tuesday night.
I plan to be there for
selfless plug.
Those games as well as the one before. Wait, where Arrowhead.
Selfless. Shameless.
Shameless, yes. Yeah.
It's very self-full.
It is it's okay. Selfish. But
no, self-full. Not selfless.
I get it, yeah. Okay. So Arrowhead's playing DePere before those games. Yep. That features DePere with Brevin Pritzel, yeah, who's
that's a good night.
Yeah, and then, Maguana going to Oshkosh North. Oshkosh North is one of the best teams in the Fox Valley, so it is a very good night of basketball. That's the 30th. The tournament lasts the 29th, 30th, and 31st. New Year's Eve! There's gonna be basketball. I got excited for New Year's Eve. That's a holiday I can get behind. None of this Christmas garbage.
Yeah, you and your your six-month-old daughter and two-year-old son really love New Year's Eve.
Yeah, right? we stay up all the way up until 11:30 p.m. and then we go to bed.
That's not bad.
Yeah, well, we suffer for it the next 3 to 5 days.
I'm just hoping to make it till like 9:30.
Yeah, it's different when you've got little ones, but neither here nor there. So basketball is obviously on everybody's mind. One thing with the boys is it's so balanced. It's so hard. It was so hard for me on my round ball rankings page. Which, by the way, you can find at mycommunitynow.com/roundball.
This is the most plugged podcast we've ever had.
We are very selfful here on Initial Reaction. I had such a hard time ranking the top 15 this week. It was brutal. I had to write everybody's resume down and try to get a sense of whose losses are better, whose wins are better, because it's really difficult to say. There are teams like Wauwatosa West that I thought would be good who've kind of fallen below the threshold of the top 15. There's teams like Homestead that lost the first game of the season but have won everyone since, and they belong in the top five or at least close to it. There's Germantown and Dominican who are the top two, but everybody after that is pretty much lumped together. I mean, Brown Deer is very good. West Dallas Central has been very disappointing, but they're very talented. Several teams with one or two losses. Kettle Moraine comes to mind. There's a lot of teams in the mix, and it's very hard to figure out who's good. And that carries over to the conferences, too. I think the Greater Metro is wide open. I think the North Shore is pretty much Germantown's, and then sort of wide open after that. Homestead and Whitefish Bay among those contenders. I think the Classic Eight is wide open. It's just so hard to say who the best teams in boys' hoops are this year.
I think you're the best reporter in boys' hoops.
Be.
Does that make up for anything?
What about girls' hoops or anything else? All prep sports.
You are an average girls' hoops reporter.
Whatever. You don't know me.
You are subpar at wrestling.
That's not true.
I have seen your work.
I love wrestling.
Speaking of girls' basketball, Germantown and Waukesha West both undefeated?
They are. Germantown and Waukesha West probably, if not your two best, they're two of the top five in our area. Waukesha West is the clear number one at this point, 9-0, and they've beaten kind of a who's who of great programs. They have not had a soft schedule, and they are really looking like the team to beat in Division I. Germantown might have a case. Now, in the past, Germantown has done sort of a Grinnell thing where they have mass substitutions, full court pressure. It's crazy. Matt Stuvey's the coach, did a great job with that, got that program into a pretty good place. And now this year, because they've got three really good players, including Taylor Higginbotham, who's going to Western Illinois, they really have done a more traditional offense where they don't do as much frenzied pressuring. They just let the starters be the starters. But it's working out for them. They got a very good team and probably the North Shore favorite at this point.
Remember when I said that we're very self-full today?
Yeah.
I was at Germantown High School last night talking to those girls basketball players really? For an upcoming feature on Sports Weekly Tuesdays at 6 on Time Warner Cable Sports Channel.
I might actually watch that because today wow, is Tuesday. Thank you. Yeah. So that's fantastic. So what did they tell you about their new system?
Basically what you just said.
Oh, very
that,
good.
Higginbotham is a very good player and that Kenzie and Val, if it's not one of them, it's the other one stepping up.
Oh, yeah. We've heard that before, have we not?
So, you know, and that reminded me of who was it? I was thinking of the Bucks this year because I was also at Bucks practice this morning. Okay. I've been doing a little
bit. Wow, you've been everywhere today.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I woke up in Tampa at 4:45 to catch a flight and then at...
Wait, that's an a.m.?
Yeah. Ugh. And then at 5:30 p.m., I was in Germantown talking to the girls' basketball team.
That seems like a day that's unnecessarily long.
Yeah, but Christmas, you gotta... Yeah. It's, anyway. But I was thinking about the Bucks and how, first of all, the Bucks have 14 wins. They can get 15 wins tonight, which...
Would tie last year's mark of 15 wins.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. And I was thinking about how, you know, you can make the case the Bucks have been winning with different guys every night. You know, sometimes it's... a Chris Middleton winner, Brandon Knight game winner, Zaza Pachulia game-winning defensive stand. So they've had a bunch of things, or like Kendall Marshall has gone off for 25 points. And then I thought, you know, all right, is this going to be one of the storylines I talked to the team about today? And then I decided quickly, no, because that's tired and dumb.
Yes.
And it's a dumb
story. Look at you. Look at you. What did you talk about instead?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, right?
No, but I didn't because, like, well, of course different people are winning – every game. I mean, it's
right.
I don't know if there's any team out there except for maybe whatever team LeBron is on that it's one player every time who's getting you the win every single time. I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Right. Yeah.
So
I talked
myself out of it that it's the worst tired storyline ever.
Good work. You are a bold journalist on new ground. Yeah. I mean, there are plenty of examples of that. Even LeBron's teams have had some pretty good supplementary players, but that's okay. That's we deal in cliches sometimes, and that's okay. But yes, Germantown, very successful. The Pewaukee girls are very good. The Pius girls, I think, are the Division II favorite at this point. Pewaukee, New Berlin, Eisenhower, some conference competition that's very, very good. And Pius beat them both last week. So they are looking very, very good. Again. Not a soft schedule either. They've played some tough competition. And once again, they are competing for first state championships. Scott Herrick has a great program going.
So the only other thing on my mind, high school, I know hockey is also tournament time. The Joe Raymond holiday tournament is always really big, and I wanted to go cover that this year, but I will be out of town. The Admirals always host their holiday tournament. This is either the 8th or the 9th year.
Yep.
Homestead won it last year. Marquette is always in it. Arrowhead, Germantown, Cedarburg. And they brought in a team from Illinois this year, New Trier. They have a very senior... heavy roster. They're two-time defending state champs. Very senior heavy roster. Guess how many seniors are on their team?
15.
22. Their entire roster is seniors.
No way.
Every
That's
single
not possible.
Player. It is possible and it's happening and they're going
to
come
How
in
would you like
and...
to be a decent junior hockey player in New Trier, Illinois?
Not this year.
Sorry.
Isn't that unbelievable?
That's crazy.
So two-time defending state champs.
And they're all seniors.
Yes.
I'm going to guess they're favored to win a third straight state championship.
I would think that's a fair assumption.
Well, I did see also the Arrowhead Hockey alumni game is coming up.
You
Who's going to be
this,
in attendance at
is
that?
It's Saturday. I don't know.
Oh, come on.
It has been, I am not saying that I'm old. I'm saying that it has been
Well, you're not
years.
Old because you're like 5 years younger than me.
It has been 10 years since I graduated from the U.
Okay.
And the alumni game has kind of passed me by. Last year
Ooh.
I went. Last year I went, and I was the oldest player by about 3 years.
Oh, no, and you got smoked.
So, I don't know. I held my own.
Okay,
I'm saying the attendance.
Got it.
So, I think I am undecided at this point.
Okay. Yeah, there have been some pretty good players that came through there, like Brian Berger.
Yeah,
and that.
Matthew Tennyson, Arrowhead grad, scored his first NHL goal for the San Jose Sharks about 2 weeks
really?
Ago.
Really? I didn't
story.
Know that. I
True
did
story.
Not know that.
But yes, there have been players much better than I.
Yeah, that's that's fantastic.
So that's probably the last piece of high school news that we have.
That's true. However, if you wanted to check out the Preps Alcove on lakecountrynow.com, you can read my don't give me that sound. That's quality work right over there. You can get some information about the a little bit of a controversy in Woodland Conference Wrestling. The Whitnall Greendale teams have co-opted this year, and Coach Ed Kurth over at Pewaukee, very upset by it, believes other coaches as well, are on his side about the nature of the co-op being unnecessary, that they've fashioned sort of a powerhouse where one didn't need to exist. The co-op didn't need to exist, and now they have a team that can contend for a berth in the Division I state tournament. So there's a lot of points on both sides of that one. So give it a read over at lakecountrynow.com, the Preps Alcove.
Sports Weekly premiering tonight has Luke Fisher, Germantown product, returning to the lineup.
I've heard he's done okay at Marquette.
He's fantastic for Marquette. So feature on him, feature on the, well, interview with a Harlem Globetrotter. Yeah, that happened. They're coming to Milwaukee next week.
All right.
Annual tradition at the Milwaukee Panthers Arena. It is no longer the U.S. Arena.
It's the Center.
See, I did that?
Yeah. It's the Mecca, if you
Luke Fisher, Harlem Globetrotters, Mr. Paul Chris returned to Madison, and Packers beat the Buccaneers, and that's my show.
Oh, wow. You've had a busy week, my friend, a busy week. Hey, are you surprised, Luke Fisher? I thought at the beginning of the year, no way.
I didn't think he'd be this good.
Right, yeah.
I mean, 19
and it's
points,
early, but.
Yeah, 19 against Arizona State. I think 22 against Alabama A&M. He only had 6 last night. He also hurt his shoulder.
Ooh.
Did you see that?
I did it.
He was screaming.
Ooh.
Yeah, a lot of words that probably they're glad they didn't have a mic on him.
Now that he's in college, he can say these
but,
things.
But he went back in a couple minutes later, which was nice.
Okay.
But he's so freaking good.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened.
There were two things I was pretty sure of before the season, that Frank Kaminsky could not possibly live up to the preseason 100%. Hype, and that Luke Fisher would struggle in the early going against Marquette. And so far, those predictions have been terrible. Frank Kaminsky had hit a lull a little bit. The Badgers had, in my mind, a very impressive win over California last night. They looked really, really good. Nigel Hayes looked really good, and he's your fifth guy, basically. So that's a promising situation. But
thanks, Bill Walton.
Yeah, I just was really surprised to see Luke Fisher jump out of, I mean, a year off from games to just jump in there and have an impact. And yeah, it's not against one of the strongest
programs. Arizona State's good.
Well, Arizona State's good, yeah. Or at least they were last year. They made it to the tournament.
And North Dakota was winning for a while. I mean, they're not a bad
That's
team.
True, yeah. And now, New Year's Eve, we're going to see the Big East season begin, and we'll see if Marquette, with their 8-man rotation, can actually pull out some magic.
It almost became 7 last night.
It
almost became 7.
I mean, and honest to God, they have to build that roster. Have they talked about what they're going to do?
They have one walk-on.
Okay.
He's from my wife's alma mater in Hinsdale, Illinois.
Okay.
But I don't think he's going to play.
Right. I mean, for practices.
Yeah.
You can't just have a practice with 8 people.
That's why it's nice to just look over to sides and say, hey, Diener, get over here.
Yeah, right. Or Mr. Wojo.
Carewell, right?
Yeah, they've got probably the best
athletic
coaching staff in Division I basketball. So,
all right, go watch it for yourselves, everybody. Don't take our dumb word for it.
We
only watch one thing at a time, and we're not very smart.
We're not very smart people. We're very dumb. In fact, why did you listen to the end of the initial reaction
podcast?
Thanks
for listening. We appreciate it. Go have a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, a Merry Kwanzaa. And
a new year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Just a new year?
Well,
all right,
a new
JR
year.
Just wants you to have a new year.
Look, when you have kids, it's about survival.
I want
it's
you
not
to
about
have
any
a happy
having a happier or a better new year. It's like, well, just got to get through the next day. So the next week.
All right. That was initial reaction. Goodbye, friends.